Hi, I'm Carl Azus, delivering your Tuesday edition of CNN 10. It's always good to see you. The South Asian country of India is our first stop today. It's experiencing a new wave of coronavirus infections, and it's a big one. India is the second most populated nation on the planet. It's roughly a third the size of the United States, but it has four times the number of people. More than 1.3 billion live in India. Health experts say the country's first wave of coronavirus infections peaked last September-October. At that time, India was reporting about 100,000 positive tests per day. The numbers dipped during the winter, but this month they skyrocketed. India has recorded more than 300,000 new cases each day for most of the last week. That's an international record. In the capital of New Delhi, there is both a lockdown and a shortage of oxygen supplies. The gas is used to help people who are critically sick and having trouble breathing, but New Delhi doesn't produce its own oxygen, so it's asked the country's government to send help, which it has promised to provide. Other nations like the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, Ireland, Singapore, and Russia are offering oxygen or other medical supplies. So is Pakistan, and that's significant because even though it shares a border with India, the two nations are bitter rivals. Despite India's spike in coronavirus cases, the country's medical officials are telling people not to panic. A large percentage of those who test positive for COVID have no symptoms, but if people with mild cases rush to hospitals anyway, which some of them have, it puts pressure on medical centers and makes it harder for them to focus on those who are at higher risk from severe cases. One expert says people who have mild or no symptoms should treat themselves at home. 10-second trivia. Which of these empires dissolved the most recently? Ottoman Empire, Kingdom of Prussia, Qing Dynasty, or Russian Empire? Of these options, only the Ottoman Empire lasted until 1922. In 1914, the Ottoman Empire was home to about 2 million Armenians, an ancient group of people who lived in the region. By 1922, the number of Armenians in what had become Turkey had fallen to 400,000. What happened to them? Armenians say it was genocide, that during World War I, the Ottoman Empire murdered or forced hundreds of thousands of Armenians to flee, and there is photographic evidence that large numbers of Armenians were killed. Turkey strongly opposes the use of the word genocide. Its government says Turkish and Armenian lives were lost during World War I, and that the number of Armenians who died is closer to 300,000. The term genocide has divided Turkey and Armenia. It's also a word that American leaders have hesitated to use. The last one who referred to the genocide of Armenians was former President Ronald Reagan in 1981. But this month, President Joe Biden officially recognized the Armenian genocide at the hands of the Ottoman Empire. Turkey rejected his statement and said it would worsen the nation's relationship, but that country's leader also said he aims to open a new door with the U.S. this June.
For many Armenians, recognizing the brutality endured by their ancestors is a crucial step in righting a historic wrong. But modern-day Turkey that rose from the ashes of the Ottoman Empire has long maintained the killings were not systematic, were smaller in number, and do not meet the legal definition of genocide. In fact, the word genocide and the legal framework around it only entered the mainstream after World War II. The word was coined by a Polish lawyer to describe the Nazis' systematic attempt to eradicate Jews in Europe, what we now call the Holocaust. Turkey has softened its position over the years, with Turkish leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan in 2014 issuing a first-ever statement, calling the events of 1915 a shared pain and offering condolences to the descendants of the killed. Turkey still argues the events need to be put in historical context, that hundreds of thousands of people from other groups also lost their lives in rampant killings, some of which were carried out by Armenians. The historical debate has long been overshadowed by politics in recognition of the Armenian genocide. For years, Turkey's allies in the West had sidestepped the label of genocide in order to keep Ankara in the fold. As Turkey's ties with the West became rockier than ever, a slew of genocide recognition bills have been passed in European capitals. Turkey's rivals, like Russia and Syria, also jumped in to recognize the genocide label. One of the remaining holdouts has been the United States. But with U.S.-Turkish relations strained to new lows over the last 2 years, momentum has been building in Washington to recognize the events as a genocide. During his term, President Obama shied away from using the term genocide, choosing to call it Medyegun, an Armenian term meaning the Great Calamity. In 2019, both the Senate and House passed a resolution to recognize the Armenian genocide. But President Trump refused to call the events a genocide. Arwa Damon, CNN, Istanbul.
Though R&D is moving ahead on the Hyperloop, an extremely high-speed form of magnetic rail transportation, it's still unknown if it'll make financial sense to build Hyperloop passenger networks. They may not be able to carry as many passengers as current trains, and there are concerns about catastrophic accidents if something goes wrong. So what's going right?
November 8th, 2020. Just outside Las Vegas, Nevada, Virgin Hyperloop passed another milestone in its ambitious journey to revolutionize the way we move. It carried out its first passenger ride.
3, 2, 1, launch.
Josh Geigel, CEO and co-founder of Virgin Hyperloop, and Sarah Luchin, the Director of Passenger Experience, were the first to test it out.
And what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. It was phenomenal to be sitting in a vehicle that we've designed, built, we've made safe. And once we started going down the pod, we felt a nice, gentle acceleration. And then we got, it was a pretty short test, but we got to the end. And all we want to do is go back again.
Yes.
Virgin Hyperloop is harnessing magnetic levitation technology and wants to take it to the next level.
So what we want to do is be the first new mode of mass transportation in over 100 years. So we're not a plane, we're not a car, we're not a boat. What we are is a pod moving inside of a tube at the speed of an aircraft for a fraction of the energy consumption, basically taking you directly from where you are to where you want to be without stopping at every place along the way, smooth, electrically, sustainably, autonomously. It's this idea that being able to move 10 times faster than, you know, a car and doing that for a fraction of the emissions, being able to connect, being able to move so many people, being able to save so many, I'll say, tons of emissions, is that it's really going to open up a lot of opportunities.
Has the pandemic altered the course of your planning or the execution of your pilot projects? What impact has it had for you?
The thing that I think is maybe a little bit of a silver lining, if we could say that, about the pandemic is that it's really accelerated the talk about sustainability. We've seen a world with less congestion. We've seen a world with less pollution. We've also felt this absolute human desire to be connected to each other. So we want to see each other. We want things faster. And this is the opportunity for us to rethink what it is we're doing about the future and make some changes. Instead of building back the past, we can actually build back the future.
The fight to decide the one true Josh. 10 out of 10. Last year, this dude named Josh challenged other dudes named Josh to a battle royale. Whoever won would get to keep his name, the others would have to change theirs. Well, scores of Joshes showed up. There was so much interest that the event raised money for a food bank and a children's hospital. And after a giant fight with pool noodles, a 4-year-old nicknamed Little Josh came out the victor. Oh my Josh. Now you might have thought we were just joshing you until you saw that Josh pit, but Josh, you wait. When a battle results in that many Joshes getting their joshed desserts, justice has been served. That is hard to say. I'm Carl Azuz, serving up puns for CNN 10. We're also happy to be serving the students and teachers of Butler Area Senior High School. It's located in Butler, Pennsylvania. YouTube.com/CNN 10 is the place to request a shout out.